Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
B-Pod Studios.
Miss something?
You gotta wear your lucky jersey, don't wash the lucky socks,
rub your ball 16 times. Yeah.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now, back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
Welcome back to Zolak and Bertrand. You're on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Artie's in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and welcome in a special guest that joins us today. He's a Rhodes Scholar. He's a former safety for the Tennessee Titans. And you've heard his name before if you're a football fan. Myron Roll joins us now. He's a third-year neurosurgery resident at MGH, and he's with us now on Zolak and Bertrand. Myron, thanks for taking the time. We really appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks for having me, guys.
I saw your colleague, Dr. Paul Bittinger, in an interview a couple of days ago saying that MGH has already dipped into the emergency supply. They've gone into storage to get more PPE for all of the doctors and nurses and everyone working on the front lines of this crisis. How have those shortages impacted you personally, and what have you seen on this front being at MGH on a regular basis every day, seeing how this has impacted all of your colleagues as well?
Yeah, so, you know, the resources are certainly being conserved and utilized, I think, trying to utilize them appropriately. As a neurosurgery resident, you know, obviously we put on masks to operate, to maintain a sterile operating theater so we can, you know, avoid infections and other complications for our patients. And sometimes those masks now are being put in a centralized location for staff who are employees, whether they be food transport or maintenance or secretaries. It doesn't matter what you are. If you are an MGH employee, part of our community, you're now required to wear this mask at all times. So I'm seeing that being affect my daily life, certainly. But I think that the hospital is trying to be as diligent and as safe as possible, because at the end of the day, if providers are not able to protect themselves and taking care of these very vulnerable people with COVID-19, then there's, you know, we're really behind the eight ball. We're going to be shorthanded. So I think we all need to kind of come together and use the resources as best as possible and do the best we can.
Myron, when you go back to your football days, you have situational coaching where your coaches prepare you to see everything throughout the course of a week so that when something happens in a game, you're not shocked and you can react accordingly. Pretty much the same way when, you know, you being a Rhodes Scholar and you being 3 years there at Mass General, I'm sure they prepare you over the top for everything. What is the most shocking thing you've seen here these last several weeks when this COVID-19 outbreak happened here, especially in Boston?
You know, I'd say, first, that was, you know, a great comparison. I think a lot of football crossover traits are happening right now for me personally, just understanding how to manage under pressure, taking the critical moments, taking coaching, going back to the fundamentals, being calm and executing and having a team mentality. I would say the most shocking thing that I've seen has just been the severity of this infectious disease. You know, you see patients in the emergency department who are being intubated emergently or being bronched emergently, or families having end-of-life goals of care discussions with the emergency department providers and nurses and doctors there who are doing a phenomenal job. That's a real thing. It's serious. And so when people are sort of on the back end of it and saying, well, you know, it's not that important, it's just like the flu, they're gathering on beaches in Florida, they're still assembling together, they're not adhering to the physical distancing, you know, protocols that are sort of going out. You know, as a provider and as someone who sees it every single day and is around colleagues that are going through it as well, you know, it's irresponsible in a way. And, you know, I just hope that we can continue sound the alarm and let everyone know, the general American populace, that this is a very serious condition, very serious infection, and it won't go away unless we all play our part, no matter where you are.
Myron, that was going to be my question for you, and I just wondered if you could kind of expand on that a little bit. I don't imagine you have a lot of time to watch the news or you know, check in on the goings on around the country, but is there one thing in particular that you see that makes you slap your forehead and say, they just don't get it, whether it's from an administrative standpoint or from a public perception standpoint? What's the one thing that stands out to you as the thing that needs to change in order to turn this thing around?
So that's a great question. I think the thing that really stands out to me, being a former athlete, is seeing a lot of student athletes who I either mentor or I'm just in touch with, going back to my alma mater, Florida State, other parts of the country. You know, I'm still kind of connected to that athlete world, and I want to be, right? As a neurosurgeon, I went into this profession because I had interest from Ben Carson to be a pediatric neurosurgeon, but brain trauma and concussions and these sorts of neurosurgical disease burdens are interesting to me, and I can still have a foot within this science and also within a sport that I was so passionate about for a long time. I think what's shocking to me is young people, especially athletes, who feel sort of invincible, right? You can run fast, you can jump high, you can throw a ball hard, you can swim really fast, you can jump and do cartwheels and things like that on the gymnastics mat, but you don't feel like anything can hit you. You feel like you're impenetrable. But this is not true, because you can be an asymptomatic carrier of this very infectious disease, and you can end up spreading it to somebody who has a weakened immune system or has a premorbid condition that won't let them fight the disease like you can fight it as a very healthy, young, strong woman or man who plays a sport. So I'd say that those young folks who are healthy, vibrant, you know, it's a little bit inconvenience right now. It's a little bit uncomfortable to be at home and away from your friends and away from sport, away from your college, away from, you know, your daily life. But we have to be comfortable with being a little bit uncomfortable right now, because eventually we'll get through this, but it takes time. It takes time for the intellectual women and men on the front lines to really just figure it out, and find a vaccine, find a therapy, find management, find a cure, and find the best way to prevent this from happening in the future.
Myron, obviously we've heard about an all-hands-on-deck attitude within medical facilities across the country, as there may be a shortage of some point, doctors, nurses, people that are helping fight this. You're in neurosurgery. Are you expecting to be called on to help in emergency medicine in the near future or at some point during this crisis?
Oh, no question. I already placed my name in the pot. A lot of my co-residents have done as well. This is a pot that allows us to work in the surge clinic that we have at Mass General. It's a hospital within a hospital that sees patients who come off the street with either COVID-19 or symptoms analogous to it. And so you just man it, you triage patients, you do the best you can, and no matter what you do, whether you take out brain tumors like, you know, my colleagues and I, and fix spines, or you deliver babies like an OB-GYN, no matter what you do, if you want to help in the hospital-wide fight, you know, you have to be ready to be called on. And that, again, harkens back to my, you know, football days. You know, I would come out and say, Coach, I'm going to play strong safety today. Well, okay, Myron, well, they have a really good tight end, and typically you'd be, you know, playing the run fits the whole game, or they'd be playing the deep third the whole game, but I want you to lock on this tight end the whole game. And maybe I wasn't expected to do that, but my role shifted, and I have to do what's best for the team. And just, you know, give my best effort. And that's what I plan on doing here, and my fellow colleagues are doing the same for sure.
Myron, when did that switch go off in your head for you? Going back to your early days as an athlete, you get to Florida State, and then something had to change to where, you know, you want to do this career path as opposed to, shoot, I know your goal is to be a first-round pick and probably could have went and got a lot of money, and who knows if you would have missed that window of study. But when did that switch go off in your head to tell you you want to do this?
You know, I sort of had it in the back of my head for a long time, the idea of being a neurosurgeon. Ben Carson was a huge role model for me, pediatric neurosurgeon from Johns Hopkins.
Sure.
First one to separate two twins from, you know, our occipital lobe, and they both lived. You know, he was black. He didn't have a lot of money growing up. His family was very focused on education. He had a temper. You know, I used to get suspended from school sometimes for having a temper and fighting. You wouldn't expect it now, but, you know, I was a little bit of a troublemaker growing up at some point. And so hearing his story, I was like, man, this is the guy I want to be like, my academic hero. I had him on my wall, and I had Deion Sanders primetime on my wall. And those are two people who I just looked at as role models. And once football was done, once I said, you know, I got everything out of my body in this sport. I have no concussions. My hands are physically okay, so I can operate in the operating room. I had to move on, and I asked Dr. Carson, too. I had a chance to meet him and ask him about it. He said, you know, just, you know, give it to God and go forward and do the best you can and put others first. And, you know, since then, the journey has been amazing. Mass General residency at Harvard has just been wonderful. Our attendings are great, and I'm really just, you know, sort of walking this second chapter of my life with some vigor and veracity because I planned for it, I prepared for it, and now it's all coming to fruition, and it's really great for sure.
Myron, I just have one question for you, and I understand as a neurosurgeon resident, this isn't exactly your field, but I feel like you're better equipped to answer this than anyone else we've talked to here in recent weeks. You mentioned waiting for the vaccine and until the trials and everything. Everything else seems to be expedited these days, whether it's the manufacturing of respirators or getting them into hospitals. The one thing that doesn't seem to change its timeline is the development of a vaccine. Is there any way to speed that up? Why does it take so long? I understand trials and making sure that it's safe, but it seems to me that is a case as serious as this one, there's got to be something that can be done to speed up that process.
Yeah, I mean, that's the ideal situation to try to speed it up and try to expedite it to get it out to as many people as possible. But I think the primary goal of the vaccine is not just when it's done and when it's complete. I think the primary goal is safety and efficacy. Is it safe? And does it actually work? Does it actually do what it's intended to do? And can we prove that over and over and over and over and over again? And until that's done, that's been the process here for any drug that's been developed in America for CERT. Other countries are a little bit more loose in their regulations and restrictions, but the United States certainly has these tight restrictions because, let's be honest, you know, it can be a litigious society, but then also you just want to make sure you're keeping everyone safe at the same time. You don't want to have a vaccine that causes more issues than what you were trying to prevent in the first place. So I think it's just being very conservative, and we in medicine and science, just by our nature, are more conservative in general. We're not, incredibly liberal with how we approach new therapies. We like to have evidence-based, and we like to make sure it's absolutely safe, and it absolutely does what it's intended to do every single time, or at least, you know, more than 90% of the time, for sure.
Myron Roll is our guest, neurosurgery resident at Massachusetts General Hospital. Myron, we know that elective surgeries have been on hold in most places. In your department at MGH, have what would normally be considered a medically necessary procedure on a normal day been delayed or pushed back as a result of everything going on?
Yes, it has, certainly. Our elective cases, which it sounds interesting that neurosurgery has elective cases, right? I mean, this is the nervous system, central nervous system or peripheral nervous system that's hampering the daily life of people, giving them enough symptom problems that they want it fixed and want it removed and want to rejoin their family and their community. But yes, so long-term chronic degenerative spine disease where people have back pain that shoots down to their legs, brain tumors that are maybe benign and smaller and less eloquent parts of the brain, you know, those have been put on hold. Peripheral nerve surgeries for people who have brachial plexus injuries or something like that, that's been put on hold. Shunts that need to be adjusted. All these different surgeries that we typically would do and get through, you know, 10, 11 rooms, operating rooms on a single day, those have all been postponed. And for the most part, from what I've been hearing, I don't have access to all the patients and their families, but from what I'm hearing, the patients are understanding that our hospital has a premium and a priority on COVID-19 patients right now, and our hospital can actually end up becoming a nidus for infection. So you actually don't want to be in here if you don't have to be. And if you can withstand, you know, having your surgery delayed a little bit, then we just ask you to help us with that. And for the most part, our patient population has been able to do that. But if there's an emergency surgery, that still goes regardless. There's still a team on board to take care of the very emergent issues that are neurosurgical.
Last one for you, Myron. You have a great foundation. It's established, but being here for 3 years, what more attention do you want to draw to that for people that listen to our show and watch us on TV?
Yeah, you know, my foundation is just the Myron L. Roll Foundation. It's rollfoundation.org is the website. You know, we help foster children and underserved children from Florida all the way back home to the Bahamas. And, you know, obviously I've been in the hospital so much here in Boston, I have not had an opportunity to really get out and have my foundation be very active in the city, but I'm here for 7 years. So I would love to, you know, continue to grow it. And so children who are sort of marginalized, disenfranchised, or told that they're outcasts, especially if they come from you know, underprivileged backgrounds. These are the groups that I'm trying to target. Help them understand that, you know, knowledge is power. It can take you a long way. Being a leader is important, and you have to keep your body healthy to do all of these things that have an impact. Because eventually, you, me, all of us, we're going to be removed from the table, and these young people are going to be the ones making the decisions and the leaders in our country. We want to make sure they're prepared to do so. So that's what my foundation is focused on, and certainly would love to get more active and more involved here in the Boston community for sure.
All right, less serious question here. That's a fantastic job you're doing with the foundation. You know the psyche of the Northern Florida sports fan. You know, you played at Florida State. Plus, you said you've been around here for 7 years. So I think you don't live under a rock. You kind of know what Tom Brady meant to the New England Patriots. How the heck you think Brady's going to do down in Tampa?
Oh, man. Well, I tell you what. All of my family and friends down there in Florida are super excited about him. You know, I think Tampa has... Tampa has, they have a young, like, vibrant, not only fan base, and even when they weren't winning, there were still people actively showing up to those games. And they have a young, strong team as well with a lot of firepower. So maybe this is an opportunity for Tom to, you know, see a different side of things, be supported by, you know, a new group, a new voice, a new energy that maybe he hasn't had in a little bit here. But I know the Boston fans are, you know, very disappointed. I know a lot of our nurses are huge Patriots fans, and I'm really good friends with Jason McCourty. We play together with the Titans, so he's telling me how the guys in the locker room are feeling a little bit about it. But, you know, I think Tampa, if they have a rejuvenation of that organization, it's going to, you know, start and end with what Tom Brady is able to do. So it's going to be interesting to see how it goes, for sure.
All right. Appreciate
Byron, thanks. Byron. Thanks for the time. Appreciate you taking time out of your day for us, and best to you going forward. Stay safe. We wish you and all your colleagues the best.
Thank you very much for having me, guys. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Byron Roll joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. That website, again, for his foundation, if you want to learn more, is rollfoundation.org. That's R-O-L-L-E foundation.org. Check that out. Doing fabulous work both in his 9-to-5 job and beyond. We'll get back to it here on Zolak and Bertrand coming up next.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.